Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, I have a treat for all of you. I am bringing you an interview with the superstar of the PWA, of Force Pro Wrestling, of RCW. I am talking, of course, about Zoe Sager. Zoe Sager had one of the greatest 2019s here in Alberta, as being almost nearly undefeated in 2019 in her singles runs, to becoming the PWA Women's Champion, to wrestling inside the Saddle Dome, to wrestling Nicole Matthews, a Mae Young competitor, at the Clandestine Society. She has amazing stories to tell, so you're going to want to listen. But before we get into that, you will hear from our sponsors over at the AJHL, and as soon as that's done, we will have our interview with Zoe Sager.
From Lanny McDonald to Daryl Sutter, Mark Messier to Cale Makar, before you're a star, you've got to make it in the AJHL. On Saturday mornings, TSN 1260 takes an in-depth look inside the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Join Tyler Yaremchuk from 9 to 10 a.m. for previews, reviews, and interviews from around the AJ. Inside the AJHL, Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. only on Edmonton's sports leader, TSN 1260.
Hey everyone, Anthony here. I am joined with PWA, Force Pro Wrestling, and sometimes RCW superstar Zoe Sager. Zoe, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I believe this is take two on this, so I apologize for that, but hey, that's
no
fine.
Worries.
That's how interviews go sometimes. I have a couple of questions here for you, Zoe, but the one I really want to start off with here is getting a definitive answer on something that no matter where you seem to go, you get a bit of a different answer. So, is it Zoe Sager or Zoe Sager?
It's Zoe Sager.
Yes. All right. Fantastic. Yes. We have a definitive answer finally. So, if anybody's listening, Sager. It is indeed Sager. Now,
yes.
You are an incredibly accomplished wrestler already in your career. You've been doing this approximately about a year and a half now, and already you have been the PWA first ever women's champion.
Yes, that's incredible.
That, yeah, absolutely. So you won that last year at PWA Night of Champions in a fatal four-way. You pinned Allie Zwicker in that match, Kat Von Ease, as well as Kylie Morgan.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that match?
No, it was interesting because I had wrestled Kat for like literally the first like 8 months of all of my matches, except for I think one. I had one match with Dusty Adonis in that time, but I had wrestled Kat a lot up until that point. And then Kylie Morgan had started. I'd started having a couple of matches with her. But with Alex Wicker, it would have only been my second match with her. At that point, I'd had a tag match with her at some point prior to then. And so it was facing two people that I didn't know quite as well, and with Kat that I was able to get through it. But it was a lot of fun. I did a bunch of stuff in that match that I hadn't done before, and it was lots of fun.
A couple of quick questions here about this, because there's a little bit of controversy that have happened as of late. So you were the very first ever PWA Women's Champion. Unfortunately, you did recently lose the title to Gigi Rae in her debut match up there in Edmonton. Can you tell
yes.
me a little bit about that match and what happened?
Match was going fine. You know, it was Gigi Rae's first ever match, and she did awesome, especially like I remember my first match and it was not that good. So she is very, very, very talented. Now, if she hadn't taken the turnbuckle pad off the turnbuckle, you know, maybe we could have, maybe the outcome probably would have been different, but no, she's good enough that she didn't have to do that, but it's okay.
So,
in March, I'll get that title back.
Yeah, so in one of the coolest kind of set of circumstances, unfortunately, you did lose that title, but then you made your way into the Rumble and ended up winning the Rumble, finally eliminating Colton Kelly in a really cool, I guess you could say, Hurricane Rana over the top rope from a messed up power bomb. Oh, how okay, so having such a high in winning that Rumble and then redeclaring the match that you want to have, and then also in the same night losing the women's championship, how does it feel riding such a roller coaster of emotions in a single night?
It was at the end of the night, it was a very good feeling. I feel very confident that in March, I'm going to have an amazing, like, just crazy match. And yeah, it was tough losing the title, but I mean, hearing the fans, like, their acceptance, like, yes, this is something that they want. Like, I'm the first woman to ever win that Rumble. So, like, it's a lot. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's been a lot of firsts here for the career of Zoe Sagers, which is and I mean, we're, like we said, about a year and a half into this. We have so much career left to see the amazing things that you still have left to do. So let's start it back from the very beginning. So you trained under the tutelage of a legend around here, Lance Storm.
Yes, I did.
You have to tell me a little bit about what it was like to train under Lance Storm, because, you know, you get some people who say he's like the most intense person in the world and he could stare a hole through you. To other people, he's like, no, he's secretly incredibly jovial and loves to joke and have a good time. You got to tell me a little bit about Lance Storm.
Yeah, so, like, both are very much true. I've seen the, like, almost death glares. Not quite death glares, but just, like, very serious straight up things, but I've also seen him, like, very much a nice guy, very much a jokester, as you said. It was interesting training with Lance. I'm very happy for what I learned there. Like, the way that he worded things specifically, like, it made a whole lot of sense to me, and it's sometimes, like, I still carry on if, like, people at training are trying to figure something out, and sometimes, like, oh, this is what helped me with the wording that Lance used, helped me, so maybe it'll help them, and help that sort of thing. Like, just very, very, very smart, and I wouldn't have changed how my time went there.
Like, for anything kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Now, doing my research, I also did find out that you didn't miss a single day of training when you were training with Lance Storm.
This is very true. Yes, I did not miss a day. There were a couple days right at the end where I was like, almost like, maybe I shouldn't go. But then I was like, you know what? I moved down to Calgary, or I guess Airdrie, for the 3 months, like, I'm not going to go. And so I was there every day and I participated every day, and it was lots of fun. I think there were a couple people in my class who also did it, but yeah, only a couple. So
that's so cool to hear. And I mean, alongside some of the PWA's finest that you actually trained with, I know you did train alongside Kylie Morgan and the Spaceman Barry Grayson.
Yes, that is correct.
So I haven't had as much conversations with Kylie Morgan, but I've obviously spoken to Barry Grayson. He's such an awesome guy, like, super casual. When he says nobody's ready to fly with the Spaceman, I'm just like, that seems like an elective thing, because I kind of want to try. You know what I mean? But so what was it like training alongside both of them?
It was really nice. I hadn't actually gone to a whole lot of independent shows prior to starting with Lance, but, like, they had, Spaceman was friends with a lot of the PWA roster, like, before he started, and so being able to talk to people who knew this area of, like, where I was going to be breaking into, it made it very nice to know that, like, these people know what's going on, and that, like, just follow their lead sort of thing. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It seems like it would be so cool. It seems like the whole community, I guess you could say, it feels like a giant family. And I hear that's especially true when you train in, like, Storm's Wrestling Academy. It's like your team is like a family to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
What would you say that some of the cool, or what would you say like the greatest tidbit of information you ever got out of Lancer? Not to say steal his training techniques or anything like that, but what do you say when you think back on your time was the thing that really pops out as you as the biggest lesson you learned? Which is a lot because I know he trained you how to become an entire wrestler.
I don't know. Kind of like, I try to think back at what all he said. Like, I try to do everything that he said. Like, it doesn't always show up that I'm trying, but like, just remembering to calm down and trying to remember to calm down, even if in matches, like, even if I'm like completely lost or like just stuff isn't going right, just trying to like take that breath and be like, okay, it's just a match, how can I fix it, sort of thing. And not always able to fix it, but I try and try my best to do it, successful or not.
Totally fair, totally good. Now, I want to skip forward a little bit. Now, prior to your last interview that you had with Spencer over on the Conversations with Love, I think you were about a week or two removed from wrestling inside the Saddle Dome. You have now since wrestled in the Saddle Dome. And now the amount of wrestlers, you could say, who have wrestled in that Saddle Dome is very limited. And for female wrestlers, that number drops even more dramatically. How did it feel to wrestle in the Dome?
It was insane. Like, honestly, like, people say that, like, you'll get to a point where, like, you can feel the crowd and feel the energy of the crowd. Like, I thought I had felt it, like, at Night of Champions. I thought, no, like, before I even went out, before it was even my match, I was just sitting, like, in this Zamboni area, and I could just feel it. It was during the tag match, and I could just feel the energy, and, like, I'm not gonna lie, I almost, like, I started tearing up because I'm like, holy cow, like, it's incredible. Like, just an incredible feeling, and then finally being able to get in there and be in there then with girls that I've loved and, like, love working with, and it was a really really, really incredible moment.
I mean, just even as a spectator, I was there. I was like, this feels amazing. I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
Like when I've talked to people who have been on the show and stuff and they've worked in the Saddle Dome, they were like, it's like you said, it's like this indescribable feeling. Like you just can't quite explain that. Would you say that when you look back at your the accolades you've already accomplished in the year and a half, would you say that like it would be in your maybe top three?
Yeah, for sure. It would be in my top three. It was such a cool night. Like, just, I don't know if I slept that night, like, after it happened. Like, just couldn't, like, the adrenaline was just insane.
It was crazy. Just to see everybody in the dome, like, I was just so ecstatic just to see how many people stayed and watched the PWA.
It felt crazy. Surreal.
Now, let's
hopefully forward. There will be another one.
Oh, I hope so. I would be at every Dome show if I could see more of those. But we'll see what we can do. We're all here to grow the business, right? So
yes.
Let's skip forward a little bit more. You also got to take place in one of the coolest events I've ever been to, ever, in the Clandestine Society.
Yes.
And you had what I would consider to be one of the most marquee matches. Can you talk a little bit about the Clandestine Society first before we get into your match?
Yeah, so the Clandestine Society, I was first like told of the idea like months before it had even been a thing, and like invite only, just like family friends, just small secret show, and I'm like, that would be awesome. Like, I have family that like friends that aren't able to come out to PWA shows, like, this is like the perfect opportunity to like reintroduce them to wrestling. And so like as soon as I heard about it, I was on board, and then what it became was just crazy, like beyond what I had even thought from the first little conversation that I'd had about kind of the idea of it.
In the Clandestine Society, there was a lot of incredible matches, and I gotta say, you got to wrestle against Nicole Matthews. like a Mae Young competitor or a Mae Young Classic competitor, like someone with a lot of accolades under her belt. How did it feel stepping in a ring with somebody like Nicole Matthews?
It was scary, not gonna lie. Like, I have never had a match with somebody like who had done the things that like one day I hope to do, like especially like a female who had done the things that I want to do. Like, I wrestled like so many of the guys and like and girls, and they're amazing. And like, I tried not to get in my head about it and like tried to think of it as more like it's just a match, it's no different than what you've done, but like it's still hard to get out of your head. And so it was scary for me, but oh, so much fun.
And I gotta say, when we're looking back at your 2019, one of the only singles losses of your entire year.
Yes.
I mean, I believe it was just that and Jack Pride, if memory serves.
That's what people say. I honestly have no idea. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
But so let's talk now, because you said a little bit about her accolades and how those are some things that you would love to achieve. What are some of the things you would love to achieve?
You know, like, I just want to wrestle as many people as I can. As many different people, like, as many different places, and just try and gain as much experience as I can and help out those that I can, like, with my very minimal experience, and just learn lots, especially this year.
It's going to be an amazing 2020. I think if 2019 was an indicator, 2020 is just going to be blowing things out of the water here.
Yes.
And it's funny that you say that, because you're like a year and a half in and you want to be able to like teach and everything like that.
Yeah.
So you've trained alongside people like MRB. I got to see a little bit of the action just before the Clandestine Society in the ring training. So training alongside some of the people around here, people like MRB, how is it learning alongside somebody like an MRB, alongside like a BVD, anybody like that?
I'm very lucky that like with training, I get to learn from somebody like MRB, like the knowledge that he has and is able to like give me just even a little bit of it. Like, it's incredible. And like those mini camps, like there's something else. Like, those are hard even for us. Like, anyone who does it, who like comes in and tries a mini camp, like, very props to you, because like it's not an easy 2 days. And like this way that like MRB puts those camps together and then puts training together, like, just makes so much sense, and it's like eye-opening.
That is a challenge, by the way, to everybody out there. If you are in the Edmonton area during one of these mini camps, I implore you to go. I've even said that if I'm in Edmonton during one of these mini camps, I will do it. And I am not necessarily the most physically fit person. I am 31 years old. I don't have the greatest back. I'm still going to do it, because I need to know one of these days what it's like to just take a bump. I just need to know. It's something in my blood. I have to know one day.
Yes.
So you would honestly recommend it to anybody who wants to give it a shot?
Absolutely.
Proper like training, it's, though.
Yes. It's like, there's really nothing to lose. Like, it's in such a controlled environment that like, it's, and everyone who has done it has been so supportive of everyone. It's just an incredible experience, even if like nothing comes of it for you. If you decide it's not for you, it's definitely worth the, it's definitely worth it. It's 2 days. It's fine.
Yeah, it's 2 days. Give it a shot, right?
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple of quick questions here for you in my get to know the world of Zoe Sager. This is a question I've been asking in my most recent interviews, and I really like it. If you could own or possess any championship gold throughout history, any title, anything you want to have around your waist, what would be Zoe Sager's title?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably just because I'd say the NXT UK title.
Ooh, it's a
It's just
beautiful
so
title.
pretty.
When I first saw that, I was like, immediately, that's the most beautiful belt in the WWE.
It's so pretty. And if I could just, like, have it, it would be great.
Just looking at the people who have held it, though, people like
that
Walter,
too.
Pete Dunne, I'm like, well, that's such a... It's not a very long legacy, but man, those are some impressive names.
Oh, yeah, no, it's an incredible title. Like, just both the people who've held it, yes, and, like, just, it's so pretty.
Oh, it's such a beautiful belt. Let's talk a little bit about this, because I know that NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2's Asuka versus Bayley match is really what got you back into the world of wrestling after a hiatus for so many years. So,
yes.
Would you consider yourself a regular viewer of NXT then?
I, not gonna lie, I haven't watched wrestling for a while, but yeah, when I do watch wrestling, like, other than, like, matches online that I'm, like, studying and whatnot, NXT is usually where I go to first, because I know, like, they're not going to let me down. Like, it's always going to be good quality stuff of what I enjoy watching. And, like, not saying that, like, I don't enjoy all other wrestling. It's just what I go to. Like, it's my first go-to, yeah.
I can't blame you in the least bit. And this has never been a call-out on anything. But there's just something special about NXT that I've never been able quite to put my finger on. And there's always something about a takeover that I'm just... It always feels like next-level quality.
Yeah. Oh. It's amazing.
So, here's some more questions then. Can you name some of your favorite wrestlers or people that you look to as inspiration?
Yeah, so the person that I look to, like, now, because I'm starting to very, very slowly do a little bit more high-flying stuff, which is terrifying to me. I look to, like, Candice when I'm, like, trying to do that. Candice LeRae, when I'm trying to do stuff like that, because a lot of what she does, like, we're very similar size, and so, like, the stuff that she does, I see, like, the little adjustments that she makes to try to be able to do the thing successfully, and so I look to her for that specifically. I really like Tyler Bate as well. I really love the British strong style, like, style. It makes a whole lot of sense to me, like, for, like, I look to that for, like, where to put things in matches, because it just, they lay it out so nicely when they do their matches there. And Becky Lynch, of course, like, just, I love her.
Oh, just, this new attitude is the man. I love it, man. That's so great to see.
She is amazing, and just trying to, like, yeah, just, like, I try to pull things from, like, everyone if I can, see what works for certain people, see what I can steal and make my own. So, but I think, like, Candice, Tyler Bate, and Becky, and, like, Toni Storm, I love her to death. Just
everybody
just
you've mentioned
amazing.
Is so good. As soon as you said Tyler Bate, by the way, I did the Mustache Mountain thing to my mustache because I have to do that. That match, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it at Worlds Collide, but
I haven't yet.
Mustache Mountain versus DIY, you should go watch that pretty soon because, it's so good.
I will do that for sure tonight.
I have a couple questions here. I've pulled the Twitterverse. I got a couple of different questions here from the fans. I'm not going to filter any of them. I don't think they're, some come from other wrestlers, and I'm never really going to say not gonna know to that. So, the very first question I received from one of our Saskatchewan fans out there, Mike Ducey, the sighing guy, he asks,
"Yes,
when did Zoe most feel like giving up, and what convinced her to keep going?"
Yeah, that's a good question.
I thought so,
I mean, like, I don't know. I've had, like, I don't know, like, when I'd, like, feel, like, the point when I felt, like, the lowest, but I've had, like, a couple weekends where it's, like, okay, didn't have the greatest match. Even then, like, I know I could have had a better match than I did, and just kind of, like, getting in my own head sort of thing. Really, music is what pulled me out of that. Like, I have a list on my phone. It's like a playlist on my phone, and it's called When in Doubt. So, like, when I'm in that weird mindset, and it's just like songs that like are able to at least slightly pull me out of it at least, and then I'll be able to like get out of my head and be like, no, stop being stupid. Like, the match was fine. Like, you're 2 months in, like, you're gonna have bad matches. And it's just like, gets me out just enough that I can talk myself into like realizing that I'm being dumb.
Hey, that's totally fine. Hey, you know what? Music is one of the greatest answers you could ever give, because music is so therapeutic. Everybody's got different types of music. So if you don't mind us asking, can you give us an example of at least one song on that playlist?
What is on that playlist?
The good news is she doesn't listen to it a lot, everybody. There you go.
I'm just trying to think of the name of the song. What's it called? It's Weightless. I can't remember the name of the band, but it's like there's a line in the middle of it, and it's maybe it's not my weekend, but it's going to be my year. And I'm like, ah, perfect.
That's a great line.
That works. And so, like, yeah, so that's one of the songs.
That's a really great, that feels like one of those inspirational quotes that you need to see like on a poster with like a cat hanging from a tree or something.
Yes.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So.
Oh, sure. All right. So next question I have here, and I'm going to say this the way he would want me to say it, from the PWA heavyweight champion, Michael Allen Richard Clark. And this is, once again, I'm not filtering anything. He asks, how much taller is the PWA title than you?
Okay, so the PWA title is just slightly shorter than I am. Thank you very much. It may look like it might be longer, because the ends are very, very long. I'm like maybe 2 inches taller than it. Thank you very much, Michael Allen Richard Clark.
I can't say no. He's a champion, man. I don't want to get in this way. I don't want to be just another bus person. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Well, I guess that's a good way. Let's just kind of get into this a little bit. So how, without, you don't need to give the specifics you want to, but how tall are you?
I am just shy of 5'2".
So there you go. That's plenty of height. That, you know, she's tall enough to kick your ass, everybody. That's how tall she is.
Exactly. That's right.
All right. I have a question here from Tech. He asks, do you have any rituals that you have to do to prepare for a match or to psych yourself out for a match?
I don't think so. There's not really anything that stands out. I know, like, when I was wrestling in high school, like, I'd have to have music going for at least half an hour before my matches. But transitioning into professional wrestling, I don't know if I have any, like, specific things. Like, I'll pace around and maybe like fix my hair, and that's about it. And I'll just try not to focus that I'm going out in front of people and doing stuff, and just trying to block that out and try to focus on what's going on.
Do you say, would you say that even after the amount of matches that you've had, that there's always still butterflies no matter how much you've trained for something?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just I'm a constant ball of nerves, which I've been working on being better at, and I think I have, but yeah, no, I'm always nervous before I go out. There's sometimes where I'm like less nervous, and it's more like my match with Pride, for example. My match with Pride, before the match, it was weird calm, because I wasn't actually nervous. I was getting nervous because I wasn't nervous, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna mess up. But no, I always have some form of nerves.
I think it's kind of healthy to have nerves. I think if you don't get worried before you something big, then you don't care enough about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's very fair. All right, I got a question here. And I'm going to word this very specifically. It was worded in such a way that I have to repeat this. This question is from the Spaceman. Barry Grayson, obviously, for those who are listening.
Of course.
Since this person was clearly your favorite in Storm Wrestling Academy, when are we finally going to get to see the match Zoe Sager versus The Nose?
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen. As much as Spaceman and like the other people in the class might want it. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I feel like this is another one of those not during the podcast stories.
No, so, well, if he's not okay with me saying this, then I'll get an angry text from him later. But no, there's a guy in the in our class, and just what his name was, just referred to him as the nose, and that's all that I'll say on this podcast. The rest can be said after.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I have a friend named Duck Mike, and it's got its own reasons as well. So
yeah, so like it's, you can make your own assumptions.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And then finally here, this one is from the golden child, Kayla J.
Ooh.
She says and asks, when you are about to, or when are you going to have your inevitable tag team and that best of seven?
Ooh.
Which, hope... if you guys are confused about what I'm listening to, listen to my interview with Kayla J.
I hope it's not that far away. Like, I absolutely love wrestling Kayla. She's one of my favorites to wrestle, so hopefully it won't be too far away. Powers that be, let's make this happen, but... You know, I'm hoping it's not more than excessively long.
I hope not either. I will say this as a fan of the product even before I started doing this podcast. Yeah, can we please have that, please? Thank you, promoters around yes. Alberta, Kayla J versus
somebody
Zoe Sager,
book it.
Or obviously the tag team of We Are Golden, or because I thought yes. that was such a good name. She was on point with that.
I agree.
I got a message from her shortly thereafter saying that you had listened to the podcast and loved the name. So
it's a good name.
Hey, I think
we will have to use it.
You steal that all you want. It wasn't me. It was her. I was just the innocent bystander. So that was perfect.
There we go.
All right, sorry, Zoe. Now that I was talking about Kayla, now I'm gonna do that reverse thing that Spencer does. Before we do let you go here today, let's talk a little bit about what 2020 has for Zoe Sager. Do you have anything in specific, like a year goal, something that you need to make happen this year?
Not really. I try to plan my stuff out as much as possible, but I also worry that if I plan it out too much that like it's not going to happen ever. So I just kind of rolling with the punches. I hope to be able to wrestle in more places than I did last year, so I wrestled in 3 provinces, maybe branch out to BC, maybe Ontario, because I have family there, so there's really nothing stopping me from maybe just visiting out there, maybe doing a few shows, who knows, but right now it's just wrestle as much as I can, get as much experience as I can.
If anybody from ECCW is listening to this, I'm pretty sure Nicole Matthews, Zoe Sager rematch in Vancouver would be pretty freaking awesome, everybody.
If it happens, it happens.
I'm keeping all my fingers crossed. I can hope for anything. I can do what I want. All right. Well, before we let you go here, Zoe, can you plug your stuff? Where can people find you?
Yes. So on Twitter, it's at SagerZoe. And then Instagram, you can find me at Zoe_Sager. That would be the same, but they're taken on each other's platforms.
That's always the worst when that stuff happens, hey?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Zoe, for joining me here today.
Everybody
who is listening, actually, we should say, do you have any shows coming up that people can come to and attend and watch it?
I do. So February 8th, I believe, PWA down in Calgary. And then on the 22nd, I believe, of February in Edmonton as well.
Well, fantastic. I will see you on February 8th in Calgary, then I'm guaranteeing I'll be at that show. So
absolutely.
So everybody listening, that's where you can find her. Thank you again, Zoe. And once again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thanks, you as well.
What a fantastic time I had chatting with Zoe Sager. Remember to go check her out on all her social medias and make sure you get out there and you watch her wrestle because it is a sight to behold. She is fantastic and you gotta go and check her out. If you do like the show, remember to hit that like button and subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to this to. It also helps out the show immensely if you gave us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. Thank you again for tuning in. Remember to go check out the Wincolm Sports Network at wincolmsports.ca. And have yourself a wonderful day.